All right, we'll go ahead and get started this evening. We're going to try page 381. I think I know pretty good. I don't know how many of the rest of us know what it's one I grew up with. Sherry has cordially agreed to do it for us this evening. Basically, no one wants to. 381.
Or they think they did.
But my Lord leads me on through the darkest.
brought here this evening, appreciate letting us be here. One who's got a request to pray about, let's begin this evening. Amen. Amen. Remember all the special requests. I do want to thank the Lord for helping me. I didn't have to stew long on the whole MRI thing, man. They called me yesterday morning. Probably, I don't know. It's where the boss man got there, which he's coming in a little late recently, but he didn't let me go early too. So anyway, all that aside, yesterday morning I got the call and said everything was all clear. So I really appreciate the Lord helping us on that. I know that's kind of been a little bit of a weight off my mind. Really, I've been just kind of trying not to think about it too much and find that, you know, balance between, you know, you don't want to just be careless or whatever, but then in the words of the scripture, we don't want to be careful either.
Right.
You know, cast all that upon him and let him worry about it. But appreciate the Lord helping us in that. What day did I text you? Okay, never mind. That was Monday.
See, it's even more better.
But yeah, anyway, man, I'm lost.
But I do
appreciate the Lord helping us with that. Just continue to pray for me that the doctor then will help get, you know, medicine and stuff worked out.
Yeah.
Like I said, this medicine's doing a little better. I'm not near sleepy, but I also don't know that it's working super well. So, you know, it's one of those things. Hopefully we'll get it straightened out. But appreciate him doing that for us. And appreciate letting all of my family be here this evening. Actually, I do believe I had like a short-lived stomach bug last night just for a few hours. She's been good most of the day, but so I'll go ahead and tell you, I am actually still sleeping this evening because neither me or Christina slept much last night. So, and that in combination with the medicine, but I feel bad complaining because she slept way less than I did. But anyway, appreciate the Lord letting us be here anyway. That's what I was thinking about when she was in there. I was like, oh man, one of us probably going to miss church. But we did not have to, so I am thankful for that. Do remember Preacher Billy and Miss Vivian, are they okay, or... is your dad just not what you're supposed to feel enough to come in? Or?
Well, it was raining at a certain point during the evening.
Uh-huh.
They just want to get out of
the house. Oh, sure, I understand. Yeah, and the storms were kind of, I mean, we could see them from the house still. They were over there. So do you remember them? Would have helped them. Sherry was telling me something about, you know, switching around providers because we're Medicaid for pain stuff. Just pray that God will get all that worked out. She said Karen was having some stomach problems this evening too, so remember her if you would. Is Ashley not feeling well this evening?
Scotty's having emotional problems.
I guess. Well, I started to say I didn't see Skylar either, but if she's sitting in the pew from here, I don't think I would have seen her. So, so remember that situation and do continue to remember them as it comes closer for them to be available for fostering. Let's see, did y'all just have your last meeting or are you getting ready to? Christina told me.
Last is tomorrow.
It's tomorrow, okay. Oh, that's right. Yep. Now I remember that. So, do remember them in that. I know that's going to be particularly interesting to begin with. I know they try to prepare you, but there's this, you know, there's nothing that's going to completely prepare you for the situation, right? Other than the help of the Lord. So I pray for them in that. Let's see. Who else has got a request you want to mention at this evening? Also, I ran into Betty Norton yesterday, and she was saying that one of her other sons, which actually I thought Ben was her only son, I never met any of them, but was on vacation in Thailand and ended up getting diagnosed with diabetes, and they put him on metformin and had done something to his kidneys. He only had 40% renal function, so I guess they're trying to figure out what needs to happen there. So. What ended up happening, he had to come home, well, or at least come to America. She said he's in Alabama. I don't know if that's where he lives. Do you know who I'm talking about, Betty Norton? She hadn't been in a while. When she has come, she sits back there. She used to come a good bit years ago.
And also Ben is her adult son. I mean, he's a good bit older than me, but he's mentally handicapped. So he lives with her. And she said he's been falling a lot recently, and I think she has some fear that he might have some early stages of dementia. So she's not sure about that, though, but she was asking us to pray about that, if you would. So remember her. Who else has got a request?
Remember my brother, he goes Monday to the oncologist to see about that.
Okay.
And then he had an accident at work today. He was delivering some supplies to his workers at the fire department, and a piece of the steel fell and hit him, and he cut his head, and his arm had stitches in his arm, and cut his head open, and he had to have that glued, so just remember. He's got a lot going on right now.
Yeah.
So remember, the Townsend family, they're on the school group. The dad, he needs some work on his pacemaker. I don't remember what exactly, but his surgery keeps getting bumped back. And earlier in the weekend, he ended up with a random fever. They could figure out what's going on. The fever went away, but they still don't know exactly what's causing it. Other than it's likely that he keeps getting bumped back because of more urgent cases. So, you know, he's struggling, and the mom's all stressed, and then the two boys.
Yeah, I can remember this.
Mommy and her appointment tomorrow.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was like, it sounded to me like your voice was coming from farther back. I was having trouble spotting you, sweetheart. You said your mommy's appointment tomorrow. Okay, amen. Remember this. Oh, also, Scotty Mosteller from Olive Grove, he was texting me asking me to help in their BBS again this year, so remember me on that. But probably more important than that, one of his daughters is now expecting. So his boy just had a baby, his boy's wife had a baby. But now his daughter is expecting. So I remember that. I guess he's going to get all his grandkids at once. So. And also remember us, it looks like we have another meeting for the parental control stuff scheduled for June 6th at 6:30. That will also be at Valley View. I think, as Stephanie mentioned it to you,
She mentioned a
later
time.
Okay, yeah, but I think she mentioned probably she could make that meeting. So pray for that. And of course, anybody that wants to come, you don't have to tell me ahead of time, you know, that you're coming. So just show up, you know, if you want to. If it turns out you're free, whatever. Valley View, 6:30 on June 6th, Lord willing, and just pray that God will take that and use it and just do whatever He wants to with it, you know. So I appreciate you remembering that. Who else is here?
I'd like to remember my oncologist, his mom passed away, and he appears to be a strong Christian man, so I'm sure he should get prayers.
Yes, amen.
Deal with this congress, I said, you call the room, say, please, you want to
Judge, he's ordering it. I thank you, Lord, for loving me, being so, so good to me. I don't deserve it, God. I thank you for my faith in this church. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for putting people here in my life. And all over, God, has encouraged and prayed for me. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for doing all that you do. Lord, I can thank you enough for praising you enough. Lord, I thank you most of all. Just have mercy on me every day. God, send your son to die in my place and love and meet God. Lord, I pray that you touch and help and heal them, Lord, that's been afflicted, God. Lord, everyone, Lord, do it in a way, God, that you will find you. Lord, do it in a way, God, today. Lord, that help and honor the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray, God, that you work and live out whatever way you see fit in the lives of everyone that we love here tonight, God. Lord, whether it be through chastisement, God, or trial, Lord, whether it be through blessing and kindness, whatever you do, you will, Lord, you know. God, I pray that you do eternal works, Lord, more than anything else. God, that my mind and heart would be set on seeing people things do eternal. Lord, whatever it takes, Lord, I pray, God, that you save all sinners. Lord, I pray that you give me and everyone here the patience, God, and the faith to see it through. Not to be, Lord, tempted, God, to lose faith or to lose hope. God, that in every situation we'd be hopeful, knowing, God, that you're working those things for the good. Lord, that you're working it out that you might save all sinners, and I thank you for it. I pray, God, that you'll be with us tonight and help us to worship. They do it every 3 years. It was very complicated and convoluted.
And eventually, finally, they've done that for years. I mean, I guess it's the Pony Express. I don't know how long, but they've done it a long time. And finally, with today's technology, they were able to use our scanner just to basically keep up with how many steps we're actually taking, how many miles we're actually going, how many boxes we're stopping at, and how many packages we're scanning, and so on and so forth. So they do now what they call a mini mail count. All they do is count our letters and our magazines and flats and things like that. So in any case, they'll still do that every year, once a year, but it's a much easier process than doing all that they were doing before. And in any case, they do not want your route to go above 46 weekly hours. That's as big as they want to get. If it goes above 46 weekly hours, then they'll cut it or bust it or adjust it, whatever word they feel like using at the time. But they take it back down to about a 43. And according to our contract, that's what they do. They have the right to cut our route when it goes above 46, but they can't take it below 43. Well, I assure you, I thank God for it. I am a pastor first, okay? That is a secondary thing to me. And so anytime that I have the opportunity, I tell them to cut my route to a 40. I say, I want to cut to a 40 or a 41. I say, you know, I need my time more than I need more pay, if that makes sense. So anyways, long story short, and it just takes a load off of me and it helps me. And I like it like that. I like it where I feel like it's manageable. And I'm getting somewhere with this. Just stay with me. I know this is so boring. But in any case, so we just done mail count. And since they've implemented this new system of counting, they have not adjusted routes since 2021. And so a lot of our routes and all of our routes were overburdened. They had just cut my route. I had them cut it down to a 41. And they had just cut it down to a 41 right before they implemented the system. So most of the routes in our office, we've got 25 rural routes. Or 26. We've got 26 rural routes. And most of them have went over that 46 mark. Mine was at the 46 mark in like 10 minutes of being 47. So it's almost over. And whenever they went to doing the adjustments on the routes, I had said, you know, I want mine adjusted too, even though, you know, they're not required to. I had told them that I wanted mine adjusted as well. And I said, I would even like for it to go below 43 if possible. And I let them know that. There used to be a lady years ago who was very rude. And she was our acting postmaster several years ago for about 6 months. And she moved on to do some bigger, better things, I guess. But in any case, she was there for about 6 months, and she's very rude, very, very, very prideful, and she just, you can tell she loves having some authority. But in any case, they brought her in to do the route adjustments because, you know, she knows everything. Why wouldn't you get her to do so? And in any case, I have a problem sometimes keeping my mouth shut when I should. But thank God the Lord's working on me with that. All the time, the Lord grows me. And I'm thankful for that. But in any case, they've been working on these things for about 2 weeks as of last Friday. And different people have went in the office and found out what happened to the route and this, that, and those. So I want to find out what they've done to my route. And so I walked in and I said, you know, have you done anything to my route? And this lady's there and she says, no, we hadn't messed with your route. And I said, okay, you got any idea what you're going to do? She says, we're not doing anything to your route. It didn't bust. It didn't go over. And I said, well, I know, but I still would like for it to be adjusted and, you know, brought down just, you know, so it's manageable. And she says, well, that's too bad. We don't have to do anything to your route. I said, well, I didn't say you had to do anything to it, but I had asked that you would. And I looked at my postmaster, who's a pretty good guy. He's pretty chill. He'd get along really good. And he didn't say nothing because I don't like him. I wouldn't argue with her either. But in any case, she goes on. She's just very rude. This whole interaction very rude. And I held my peace. Thank God. And I didn't say nothing. And I said, well, what can I do? I mean, like, I said, I'll help you. Because I've done this before, I helped them do this before, Just Routes, because it's a very complicated process. I'm pretty good at math. But in any case, I said, I'll help you. I said, whatever I can do, I'll do it. She put one foot forward and stuck that little nose out. She said, there ain't nothing you can do. That's what she told me. And I said, I was a little bit upset, but I still didn't say anything wrong. I said, well, there's one thing I can do. I said, I can pray about it. And God's either going to give me peace about it, or he's going to make sure that y'all change it. Because she told me that they already got them all done. I left that part, I'm sorry. She said they'd already had them all done. They couldn't go back and change nothing. The routes were all 43s. They was where they needed to be. They made 40 routes. They were all 43s. There was nothing they could do about it. That's what she told me. And I said, well, I don't pray about it. She said, yeah, you do that. That's what she told me. Yesterday, I get back off the route. I'm going back up and back up. So I did. I prayed. And this is what I prayed. Very short, very simple. I said, Lord, I said, I have held my peace. I said, I know it's what you want me to do. I said, I bridled my tongue. I said, but will you fight for me? I said, Lord, I know you can humble her. And I said, God, I know that you can come through. I said, whatever it takes. I said, Lord, I pray that you do that. I said, just if nothing else, just humble her to know that there is a God that loves his servants.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I got back off the route. And I'm over there, and I'm putting my stuff up and getting ready to go home. And three different people within 5 minutes come tell me, hey, Chad wants you in his office. Chad wants you in his office. And I'm like, what have I done? I walk in, and this lady's there. And she says, you still want your right, don't you? And I said, yeah, I do. And she says, well, we have messed up. We have to redo all these routes. We put some numbers in them. And we're having to redo all of them. And the route that we made from the routes in your area needs more on it. And I know we can't take you contractually below a 43. But if you would please let us, we would like to take you down to about a 41. If you would let us. I started really playing then, you know. I started saying, wait, I'll think about it. I just said, well, I'd be glad to. That's exactly what I wanted. I appreciate that. They gave me the paper, I signed it. I walked out the door, and they're standing 6 foot behind me. I said, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
I thank God. I wanted to share that with you. It's just a little thing.
Yeah.
But I appreciate the Lord coming through, you know, and he's proven to me over and over and over again, man. I tell you, you let God fight your battles.
Yeah.
He'll come down a whole lot harder than you can. Amen.
Yeah, amen.
I thank God for that.
Amen.
But in any case, I want to share that with you. Silas? Zoe? You want to come say?
Yes.
Amen.
You're trying to have a situation like that. There were several times driving the truck, and you know, running into things you ain't got under control. We were with me on this particular trip. I was in Baltimore, Maryland. The road was real crowded, car parked on the east side road. You remember? Turned to the stop sign. You couldn't go forward, there's buildings right there. I lived right on the way to go, car parked on the east side road. And I didn't know what the Lord did. I said, Lord, it's in your hands. I got out of there all because of him. It wasn't a nightland. I was up to him. I turned it over to him.
Amen.
Like Preach said, God will fight your battles.
Amen.
I don't care how big they are or how small they are.
Amen.
God will fight them. Amen. Amen.
And you would.
All right.
Thank you.
don't pay attention to the fact I got two waters. That don't mean nothing. I brought one from home, and I didn't finish. I usually finish it before I get up here and didn't, but I was probably in case I need to. No, I was up there other than this one. In any case, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Revelation. Revelation chapter number 20. Revelation and chapter number 20. Continue here with our series on eschatology. Alright, Revelation chapter 20, begin verse 1 again. The Bible says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loose a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years, but the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and he shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from heaven, from God out of heaven, and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever." Father, I thank you for your word. Pray, God, you'd add your blessing to the reading of it and help us, God, tonight, and continue to glean from your word and to be edified. God, I pray that you bring conviction to our hearts and encourage us with your word. And let's pray, God, that you be glorified. May the name of Jesus be exalted. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Tonight we're going to talk about this 1,000-year reign, this millennial reign is what we call it, and we're going to talk about the things that will be happening during this millennial reign. Now, first of all, and this is what I would title the message tonight, if I would title it, would be this, the absence of Satan on earth, the absence of Satan on earth. Notice, first of all, that during this millennial kingdom, this 1,000-year reign, this is going to take place after that there has been this tribulation period, and this is going to take place where that we will be there in this millennial reign. We've talked about that marriage supper of the Lamb, and we realized that we was getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, and we were, you know, going on, and we were talking about Satan being cast into the lake of fire, and we talked about that already, but we realized that he has not been cast into the lake of fire yet. We preached on that, talking about the doom of Satan, but he has not been cast into this lake of fire, but yet he is absent from the earth during this millennial reign, and that means a few things. And that's what we want to look at here tonight, is what does it mean for Satan to be absent of the earth? And it says that they got him and they captured him, and that he was locked away, and that Christ has come to rule on earth for 1,000 years. I want to say this tonight, This is the ultimate example of Romans 8:28. Whenever we see that all these things has happened, all these bad things has happened, there's been so many that has died, both by being martyred as Christians, by the world, by the Antichrist government, and by this one that they call the beast, who worships the dragon and the system which he's raised up. Also, there's been other men of all kinds that's been killed. At one time, there was just a whole third of the earth that was killed, and then there was more that was killed after that. And there's very few that was from the 7 years when it started to about the time it ends. The percentage of the people that's remaining is probably very, very low. Now, I want to talk about, first of all, some things that are maybe controversial. We're just going to go ahead and get that out of the way. And I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, I don't have all the answers. And I don't believe nobody else does either. You can talk to a lot of people that's smarter than I, and they'll tell you different opinions.
Yeah.
Now, at the end of this 1,000 years, there's going to be some people that's numbered as the sand of the sea that's going to join up with Satan when he's loosed. Now here's the big question, one of the big questions of eschatology, where do they come from? Because we had read how that there was a reaping, both of the lost and of the saved. We just read how it said, blessed is he that takes part in the first resurrection, and the rest of the dead live not. So where do they come from? Some would say that they could come from, that there will be believers here on earth that are redeemed, but that they have children, and that those children of generation after generation would become lost, and they don't know the Lord. Now, like I said, I'm not exactly sure, but I don't see that scenario being played out as much as another one. I'm going to get to it in a minute. But because the Bible says that in heaven we're neither married or given in marriage, but we're like brothers and sisters. And so I don't believe that that's a thing that would be happening if it's the redeemed, those that have returned to earth with Christ to rule and to reign. I don't see that happening. Now, there could be a remnant of those that were saved during that battle of Armageddon that had not went to heaven. But we talked about how that, that they come down, there was that reaping. So I don't know. But there also could be a remnant of those that were lost, meaning that the reaping happened only in the city of Jerusalem. That's another theory or interpretation, if you will, that reaping we talked about, that one angel come and put in a sickle and another come and put in a sickle. But you go back and read it, and to me it sounds like it was the world. So like I said, that's not something we're going to even debate. It ain't worth debating. But I know this much is fact. Okay? That there will be some lost people at the end of this millennial reign.
Yeah.
Now, where they come from, I'm not sure. My best guess, if I had to guess, just knowing what I know about God and the rest of the Bible, and this is what is easiest for me to believe, and I'm not going to stand by and say that it's fact, and you shouldn't either, because it's just what I see, what is easiest for me to believe, is that there is a remnant of people who were right with God, that have been saved, that did not go to heaven yet. They're still on earth, and we come back with them. Okay? That's what I think.
Yeah.
But I ain't going to get into all that.
Right, yeah.
But we're going to get into things we know now. Okay, we got that out of the way. Amen. What we know is this, is that Satan is absent. First of all, Bible says that Satan was absent and that we are to go with him. Now, it says here, and here's another thing that's controversial, I about forgot. In verse number 4, it says, he saw them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. It says he saw the souls of those that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither had his image, neither received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now some have said that is to say that only those who have come out of tribulation will be back here again for the millennial reign. But I do not believe that is so. If you go back to Revelation chapter 5, before the tribulation even starts, just go back to Revelation chapter 5, And let's look again where we started when before they opened the seals. Remember in chapter 5, they have not opened the seals. The opening of the seals is the start of the tribulation period. And it says here the vision that John is seeing in chapter 5, he's seeing the sealed book, but the sealed book has not been opened. And in verse 10, it says, verse 9, it says, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Now these people are in heaven. These people were there, and they are with God. These are not just the 20 and 4, but this is, it says that the 20 and 4 fell down and worshiped him. And it says they sung a new song. It says, "Thou art worthy." And it says they have made us priests, and we shall reign on the earth. So they're also included to reign on the earth, and that is before the tribulation period. And that should also indicate that everyone who has received that new robe, that robe of white, is also included to go and to reign with Christ on the earth when he comes back to reign during that millennial time.
Amen.
And so first of all, let us understand this, that we will come, we will reign with him. And the Bible says that during this time, we have some other information about this. If we go back and we look at the book of Isaiah in chapter 2, Isaiah in chapter 2, the Bible says this. In verse 1, "The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, it should come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house should be established on top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord." First of all, notice this. It says that in the last days it will come to pass that the mountain of the Lord's house should be established on the top of the mountains and should be exalted above the hills. I will say this, that in the time when Satan is absent, then the church of God, the house of God, is going to have free reign to take the highest position and the highest authority that there is in the world. You say, "Well, preacher, you think we'll still have church?" I believe we'll have it every day. Amen.
Yeah.
I believe people's going to want to go to church. Amen. I believe we're going to go. We're going to want to worship Jesus. Amen. I'll tell you what hinders worship. You know what hinders worship? Sin. S-I-N. That's what hinders worship. You say, "Well, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I ain't doing nothing wrong." Well, that's because you're prideful in sin. Amen.
Yeah.
Hey, I would say the only thing that hinders worship and hinders you from cutting loose and just praising God is sin. Amen.
Yes.
And I would say this. The only reason that it's hindering you is because you haven't brought it before God. Amen. It ain't because you've done it. We're all sinners. Amen.
Yeah.
Hey, what's hindering it is the fact that you hadn't brought it before God and got it under the blood. But praise be to God that old tempter, Satan, hey, the originator of sin, when he's locked away for that 1,000 years, there'll not be no more sin when Christ is reigning on the earth. Praise God, we'll be able to go to church. There ain't nobody going to have their head hung in shame. There ain't nobody going to be having doubts and fears. Praise God, we'll be able to cut loose and worship God.
Amen.
I believe when we get there, guess what? There ain't going to be no need for no more preaching.
Amen.
Amen. There ain't going to be no more need for no more preaching. But we're going to worship. Amen. We're going to testify. You ever been in a church service and people just get to testify and the Holy Ghost just moves and people get up and they want to brag on God? Amen. That's what it's going to be like up there. I believe it'll be like that every single day. Hey, you know what? We'll still have things to do. The Bible says we're going to have to rule and we're going to have to that means that we will be doing things. Let me tell you some things that's, that I think about from Linda Ray. This is just my imagination, all right? I'm going to have a glorified body. Amen. I'm going to be, guess what? If you're saved right now, and you're saved, when you get there, you'll have a glorified body.
Yeah, yeah.
You know why? Because you already went up. Because the church was raptured before that tribulation period got started.
Yeah.
If you're saved right now, during this millennial reign, you will have a glorified body. Man, I imagine taking a dirt bike and just hitting some big jumps. You know what I mean? I do. I think about that like, man, I don't know. I don't know. Tell me if you do make me. I can't give you Bible to tell you that's fact, but you can't give me Bible to tell me I can't make it. I don't know where I'll be. I don't know if we're all going to live there in Israel, in Jerusalem, in that city. I don't like cities. You know why I don't like cities? A lot of y'all probably don't like cities. Right. You know why you don't like cities? Because they're full of sin.
Yeah.
You know why they're full of sin? Because they're full of people.
Right.
You ever go to a crowded place, make you nervous?
Yeah.
I don't like going to crowded places. You shouldn't like going to crowded places. They're full of the dead. That's a fact. I remember me and Stephanie somewhere walking through Dollywood one time. And I said, I got to get out of here. I said, I feel like I'm in a flock of demons. I felt like it. I could feel evil around me. I said, I want to get out of here. I said, you've got to get me out of here. And I was taking that stroller and I was running them things over. And I was like, let me out of here. And that's supposed to be a family-friendly place, you know. But you know what kind of crowd I don't ever mind going around? Church crowd.
Amen.
I go down to camp meeting, that don't bother me one bit.
Right, yeah.
My nerves ain't shot one bit over that. It don't affect me one bit. You know why? Because them people's there to worship God.
Amen.
You know what? When we get over to that city, I guarantee we're going to want to be there. And I can't promise we're going to be there. But if we ain't there, I think maybe we can teleport. You say, well, preacher, you can't prove that. But you can't prove I can't.
Yeah.
I don't know that. But we got room around in the whole world. Everybody can't be in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you could. I guess you could, you know, have one of them, what do they call it, remote jobs. We work from home. And you just, you know, get on the computer, or you get on the phone and call and tell them what to do. I don't know. And the Bible says the law is going to, you know, people will flow into it. The law is going to go forth out of Zion. Talk about Jerusalem, the holy city. It's going to go out. And it says all nations will flow into it. They'll believe, they'll worship, and they'll obey God. And there's going to be sinners that come up during that 1,000 years, but they still going to obey God.
Amen. Yeah.
There's going to be people that apparently despise God, but they will obey Him. They will obey Him. We ain't going to have to worry about it. So one thing that's going to happen is we're going to be able to worship. We're going to be there in that glorified body. And you kids, listen, I'm just having fun. I'm telling some things I think about. I think about these things. It's all right to imagine things.
Yeah.
I can't tell you that's going to happen. I tell you this, if I can teleport or if I can't teleport, it ain't going to matter. I'm going to have a good time.
Yeah.
If I got a dirt bike or ain't got a dirt bike, it ain't going to matter. I'm going to have a good time.
Yeah.
If I still get to deliver mail, then or I don't get to deliver mail, it ain't going to matter, because that's what I've told you before. I said, the Lord will let me, when I come back to rain, I hope you can be in charge of the post office. You're going to get your mail on time. Amen. I don't know all that, but I'm saying that I imagine things.
Amen.
But I know this, that the church ain't going to be hindered no more.
Amen.
Worship ain't going to be hindered. I know this. The Bible says this. It says that it'll be established in the top of the mountains and should be exalted above the hills, and all nations flow unto it. Many people should go and say, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, and He will teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And then everybody's going to know the Word of God. When Satan is locked up and Satan is out of the way, there ain't going to be no more deceiver. There ain't going to be no more Hinduism. There ain't going to be no more debates on college campuses. There ain't going to be no more any of that. There's no more Allah. There's no more war in the Middle East. There's no more none of that over any kind of religion or ideology. It says they're going to go up and they're going to say, let's go to the house of the Lord. And let's see what the Lord's got to say.
Amen.
And it says for those that don't go up, that the law's going to go forth out of Zion. So whenever they don't come, He's going to send it to them. Amen.
Yeah, yeah. Amen.
God is not released when Satan's out of the way. Bible says this. It says in verse 4 of Isaiah 2, and he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords in the plowshares and their spears in the pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. It says he'll judge many nations and he shall rebuke many nations. Guess what? You ain't going to have to worry about going out here and strolling down the streets. You ain't going to have to worry about nobody robbing you. You ain't going to have to worry about nobody trying to hurt you. You ain't going to have to worry about some more of these child molesters. You ain't going to have to worry about none of that. Why? Because the Lord is on the throne and Satan's out of the way.
Amen.
He is out of the way. When Satan's out of the way, we ain't going to have to worry anymore about people coming in somewhere and shooting up a place.
Right.
He said that they're going to beat their swords into shears and pruning hooks, and he said that they'll not learn war anymore. They're not going to be learning about fighting. Ain't going to be no more nuclear warheads. Ain't going to be no more of that. Why? Because all that's going to be rendered obsolete. Guess what? Do you know why you don't see many swords in war anymore? You don't see any bow and arrows in war anymore. You don't see spears in war anymore. You know why? Because those things have been rendered obsolete. Because we have guns and all those things. Hey, you know why chainmail ain't been used in war anymore, Preacher Matthew? It's because it's been rendered obsolete. It might stop a sword, but it won't stop a 5.56. It's been rendered obsolete. When the Lord is here, and when Satan's out of the way, all those things are going to be rendered obsolete. Now, if you can say that, metaphorically speaking, that in this time he's talking about swords, and he's talking about, he's talking about swords and spears, and you can say that we can talk about and equate that to guns and bombs and things like we have today, but it don't specifically mention guns. I like to think we'll have target ranges in the millennium reign. Amen, Jesse?
Free ammo, anyway.
Yeah, amen. Jesse's hoping to put him in charge of ammo production. He's going to be over there loading special rounds. But in any case, we can see how when Satan's out of the way, there's not going to be any more need to fear or worry about criminals. There's also not going to be any need to fear or worry about war worship. We wouldn't have to worry about China or anybody else coming invading. I don't know what the news stations is going to do. I reckon they're going to praise God with everybody else.
Yeah.
Amen. This is what the Lord said today. Amen.
Yeah.
That's what he's going to come on there and say. Hey, I don't know. You know, I don't know if we'll have televisions. I don't know if we'll have news. I don't know. I know this. There will be mortals during that time.
Yes.
Now, to emphasize on that, let me go. Let me fast forward here. Let me give you a scripture. I wasn't going to go there, but I just thought of that. I need to. Says there shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Now, I just read that. I'm going to go back to Isaiah 2 now. But I just read that to say this, that we realize that there will be mortals, there will be people who are capable of death, although they will live longer, much like they did in Noah's days.
Yeah.
He said, like the days of a tree will be the days of his people. In those days, he's talking about the last days. And we can see that they'll be there, and he mentions that seniors will be first, that are even 100 years old, and even they will be living longer than they do now, but there will be mortals in that day. And so because there are mortals in that day, I assume there's going to be highways, I assume that there's going to be, you know, a need for people to go out and have grocery stores and everything else. And so we're here to rule and reign with it. Don't we rule over each other? We're going around telling each other what to do. That don't even make sense, though. But there will be mortals here in those days. There will be finite beings here during those days that will also be the ones that turn against him at the end of that. But we can see that even that day, because he is there, he's ruling, because Satan is put away, then there is no more war. Also, not only is there no more war, but in Isaiah 11, the Bible tells us this. Isaiah 11. Verse number 6, it says this. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the sucking child shall play on the hole of the ass, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. And they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now, in reading that, we can see a couple of different things here. We can see that the animals will be at peace. I would like to say that, being that it says that the lion will eat straw as an ox, and that the bears will eat in the fields with the cows, what it tells us, and it says the wolf will lay down with the lamb, and the leopard will lay down with the cow, and that they'll all be eating there together. I don't know that we're going to eat meat. I'm not sure. I'm not certain that we won't. I'm not certain that we will. Like I said, I can't say either which way. But I know this. I'm not trying to be judgmental or nothing, but my guess, is that a bunch of these earth worshiping hippies that are vegetarians ain't going to heaven. Ain't it going to be a sad day that a lot of them's going to miss that 1,000 years where everybody's vegetarian?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to say this, listen. In that day, hey, if we are vegetarian, I don't know that we are, but I'm just saying if that's the case, and it looks like it could be, yeah. If that's the case, I believe that grass is going to taste just like the product we eat that eats the grass now. Amen? It's going to taste like steak. It's going to be like prime rib. It's going to be like filet mignon. Amen? I mean, that's basically what you're eating when you eat something like that, because it eats the grass, and that's what grew it that way. I believe God's just going to bypass all that and let us taste like that. I don't know that. Like I said, I can't give you Bible for that, but you can't give you Bible and say that ain't so either. But in any case, we know this, that the animals at least will not be attacking each other.
Right.
The animals will not be. Today, I seen a crazy thing. I did. Just so I I'm preaching this tonight. I know what I was doing here. And it's so wild that I've seen this today. I was going by, I can't remember the name of this church. Somebody here might know the name. I drive by it every day. I already know the name of it. But it's on 70 at the end of Summers Road. I believe we're mailed there. You know who's made over talking about? In Morganton. On Highway 70 going into Morgan right there. Pretty good sized church.
Pleasant View.
Pleasant Baptist Church, that's it, Scott. That I was driving by there and I seen a rabbit chasing a crow through the parking lot. The crow, you know how they're hot?
Yeah.
He's a hot one. And that rabbit's a ruining him. He is trying to get this thing. And I'm like, man, I gotta get a video of this. I'm getting my phone, and I pulled in there, and I realized the crow has its baby. It's got a little baby rabbit. And it's got that rabbit's baby, and I'm like, oh man. I'm like, I'm gonna help this baby rabbit. So I jump out, and sure enough, it drops the rabbit. But the little rabbit runs off, and it goes up there in front of the church, and their cement's cracked, and it's got a big wide crack. And the little rabbit went right down in there, and I started to leave it. But it's full of ants, and I was like, the ants kill that rabbit. So I got it out, was mama had run off, and took it down there and I give it, I basically, I could see its mom. And I set the woods, and I think it seemed to set down. And I like to believe that it come back and got the baby. I don't know what happened, but I left. But in any case, I know this, that during that time, I ain't gonna have to worry about that. That rabbit ain't gonna have to worry about that. They don't have to worry about no crows. Hey, listen, you know, we call it the natural order. Amen? And it is. But it is, it's disturbing. You ever watch National Geographic and them lions going after them babies? I mean, how, that's disturbing because they go after the sick and the wounded and the babies and the most vulnerable and the weakest of them. And I'm like, man, you know what? To be the kings of the jungle, they're awful cowardly. You know, they ain't going after the bulls or nothing like that. They're going after the weakest of them. You think about them crocodiles and alligators and stuff, they lay in wait, you know. You have this 2,000-pound animal that's, you know, laying in a foot of water, all you can see is two little eyes. Then just snaps up out of there and grabs something, jerks it down to the depths, twists it up and kills it that way. That's scary. Yeah. And although those things are interesting, that's going to be no more.
Right.
As a matter of fact, the Bible says, no, we're not going to have to see it. We ain't going to have to worry about them with us either. The Bible says that in that day, that whenever this is going on, it says that whenever we're in that millennial reign, whenever the Lord's here and Satan's going out of the way, it says that the wolf will dwell with the lamb, and it says, and a child shall lead them. And it says a cow and a bear shall feed, the young ones lay down together. And it says, and the lion shall eat straw or ox. And it says, and the suckling child shall play on the whole mass. That means a very small baby can sit right down on the pole of a serpent, of a viper, and just sit there and play, don't gotta worry about it. Now that's gonna be pretty cool, ain't it?
Yeah, amen.
I worried to death about Sawyer getting out there outside by himself because he's like Hollis off of Lone Yeller. He wants to pick up everything that he shouldn't. And I'm like, boy, I'm like, listen, you can't grab everything that crawls. You can't grab everything that slithers. And, you know, I'm like, dude, what if it's poisonous? But he's like, I'm too fast. I pull my hand away. And I'm like, no, it don't work that way. You know? I'm glad you're confident, son, but it doesn't work that way. But in that day and time, we will never have to worry about the young one out there and being around a serpent's nest or a spider's nest or a scorpion nest or whatever the case may be, what the Bible says. We won't have to worry about the lions. We won't have to worry about the bears. Don't have to worry about the coyotes. Don't have to worry about any of that.
Yeah.
The Bible says this. Going back, Isaiah, it says this, that in Isaiah 2, it says that they'll not lift up their knowledge to learn anymore. It says, O house of Jacob, come in, let us walk in the light of the Lord. During that day, not only will there be no more war, not only will there be no more hindrance of worship. There's going to be no more even reason to fear. Not even the animal world, not even anything in nature.
Yeah.
I don't have actual scripture for this, but I believe by what else read, I do believe this to be true. I'm not even joking when I say this. I believe very much so that there won't be any more earthquakes. I believe there won't be any more natural disasters.
Right.
I believe that God is in control of every bit of that 100%. I believe that while he's ruling around here, I believe that the earth is going to quit groaning because of all the sin and the corruption that's in the world.
Yeah.
And I believe that in that day and time that we're not going to have to worry about anything. It is going to be a time of true peace. Why? Because the Lord is here. Amen. We read in Psalm 22, and we often talk about the prophecy that's in Psalm 22 pertaining to the Lord Jesus Christ and him being on the cross. Y'all familiar? One thing that we don't often talk about is the second part of Psalm 22, where that it's talking about the last days. And in Psalm 22 and verse 27, the Bible says, all the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. It says that all the nations will remember the Lord. Bible says that every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess. And understand, know this, that in that day, that every single person that is on the earth is going to obey God, because Satan is out of the way. But now we know this, that at the end of this, that he is going to be loosed. And I'm not going to get into that, but I want you to go and I want you to read the entire chapter of Ezekiel 38. If you want to add to your study, read the entire chapter of Ezekiel 38. He's talking about Gog and Magog, and it's a kingdoms of the north. Some would say it's Russia. It would be somewhere in the region between Asia, Russia, and Europe, because we know it's north of Israel. And that's all that I would definitively be willing to say. And that's not to say that we're for sure whether or not the Antichrist will come from that, because this is after the Antichrist has been cast into the lake of fire. I do almost understand that. The Antichrist has already been cast into the lake of fire. And now we see that Gog and Magog is mentioned not in the battle of Armageddon, but in this battle that will happen at the end of the millennial reign. Okay? And so to say that, you know, that that's a reason to say that the Antichrist would be from this place to that place, that is not relevant. That is not a good argument to give. And so whenever we read this, it says in Revelation, going back to Revelation chapter 20, it says after that he is loosed in verse 7, it says, and he shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, gathering together to battle, the number of whom is in the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the temple of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. It is amazing to me in Ezekiel chapter 38 how accurate and how detailed of a prophecy that Ezekiel gives concerning this time that has yet now even to come. But Ezekiel prophesied about this, you know, thousands of years ago, about this time that would come to when that the Lord would be reigning, and that these nations and these other nations would be deceived, and they would come, and that there would be fire that would consume them, that brimstone would rain down upon them. Let me just read you some excerpts, because I just remembered there was some things that I needed to look at there. So let me go back over here real quick. Did I have it put in this script here? What was that? No? Yeah, that's it. That's it. So this is talking about the prophecy against Gog. Now it'd be good for you to read this entire chapter. But it says in verse 15, it says, "Now shall come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company, and a mighty army." Now we read the Revelation, they're outnumbered as the sand of the sea. He says, "Now shall come against my people Israel, as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know thee, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O God, before their eyes." He didn't say God, he says Gog, if he wasn't reading alone. And he says this, notice what he says. He says, "I will bring thee against my land." And he says, "I will be sanctified in thee."
Yeah.
And so at the end of this, Bible says that Satan goes out to deceive them. And at the end of this, God is glorified and he is sanctified in the fact that these nations once again rise against God. Now understand and know this, that with God reigning and ruling in the earth, and that with God being in control and everything being perfect, there's no more war. Yeah. Listen, what does people say about God now? Why does God let there be wars? Why does God let these little children be raped? Why does God let these atrocities happen? Why does God? That's what everyone says. They're going to blame God for all the bad war. Guess what? He's going to be here. And they ain't going to be no bad in the world.
Yeah.
And people are still going to hate God.
They
don't mind God because he's here, and they still going to hate him. You know why? Because it ain't the fact. It never was the fact that there's bad in the world. It's the fact that he has authority and we do not.
Yeah.
That's why people don't like God.
Yeah.
That's why this flesh don't like God. That's why you don't like God. That's why I don't like God. You say, "Richard, what are you talking about?" Well, if we did love God like we say we do and like we ought to, then we wouldn't be so bitter.
Yeah.
Whenever we don't get our way.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I can get I can be a school brat and pitch a fit. I'm glad God don't treat me like I would treat one of my youngins.
Yes.
You know, my youngins say, I want this and I want that. I say, you get what you get and you'll be happy. Or you won't get nothing and I'll beat you. That's what I tell them. You know, I remember God giving me a good piece of land right above my daddy's house for a good price. Bought it when I was very young. More land, that's right above my dad's house. It's been graded off. It's right to go over where my dad lives over on Spring Mountain Road, right above his house. That's the place I graded there at one time. I was going to build a house. It's 4 acres. And I just want to share this with you. I don't tell this to everybody. I know I'm planning on telling this tonight. But I just want to tell you how good God is. I don't tell you how sorry I am. I have that. It's mine. It's paid for. And I looked at it and I said, I will do it. This ain't enough. And most people will be very grateful to have it. I realize that thing. Now I'm going back to a 20-year-old man. And that's what I thought. And I thought, I deserve this. I didn't deserve nothing. Where I'm building my house now, where I was going to build my house, is 4.5 acres. Where I'm building my house now is on 45 acres. I didn't deserve it. I pitched a fit and acted like a spoiled brat. God gave it to me anyway. He gave it to me anyway. And there's some things that I just don't exactly really have liberty to tell you about. There's a lot of things in my life like that. That God's given me something that's more than I deserve. And I turned my nose up about it and said, I want more. And you know what he done? He turned around and gave me more. Now, of course, you know, I worked and we paid for it. But if it wouldn't have been for God, I'd never had nothing.
Yeah, amen.
Now I want to say this. You say, well, why does he do that for you? Let me tell you, he does the same things for you.
Yeah.
And if you fail to see that, that's on you. That ain't on God. But that he loves us. He takes care of us. And he's good to us. And he is a good father. He's a good ruler. He's a good master. But yet we despise him and a lot of the things that he's willing to do for us. That's why these nations is going to rise up and join in with Satan. And they're going to go against God. It's because that he is God, that he is high, that he is mighty. We are not.
Yeah.
It's because, like I said, like we always think, there ain't a person here tonight that don't think this from time to time. You say, well, when I was growing up, now we had it rough. Well, you might have faced it plenty of times still in your life that you thought, well, I deserve this and I deserve that. You know why? You know how I know that? Because you're human.
Yeah.
And I am too. And in that day, if these people in that day can turn against God as good as he's been, if there's people in that day that's going to hate God when they ain't never had to suffer, they ain't never had to beg, they ain't never had to go through a hard time, they ain't never went through losing a loved one, losing a parent, they never went through having to go through a divorce or anything like that. And yet, in that day, they're going to hate God. Going to turn against God as soon as they get the chance. As soon as Satan rises up against the deceit. As soon as they're given an alternative opinion. Somebody that will say something bad about God, they will say, you know what? Yeah. As Paul says, they'll be like the sands of the sea. Fires will come down and it's going to consume them. You know, I'm going to say this, that everybody that don't know the Lord, that's never been born again, that can't say thank you, Lord, and brag on the name of Jesus, they'll be consumed by fire. you say, well, I know old such and such, and they don't really brag on the Lord, so on and so forth, but I believe they're saved. That gives you hope, and you can believe, but what you ought to be doing is just give them the gospel, share the truth with them. Because our time on this earth is short, and I want to tell you this, that there is an evidence of salvation. And it's not righteousness and perfection. That's not what you look for. You'll not find that in a man or woman. And you can see the soul that brags on God, and you can see the soul that gives God credit. You can know that they know the Lord. I want to be one that gives God the credit.
Amen.
I want to be one that gives God the glory. I want to be one that gives God thanks. He's better to me than I ever deserve. He always goes beyond anything and everything that I would ask of him. And he blesses me. And he loves me. And he's good to me. And I owe him more praise than I can give. Let's bow our heads tonight for prayer. Look into that time when the Lord reigns and Satan's out of the way and we can worship. I want to say this, I can worship now. I can thank God right now. Satan buffets and still hinders and hurts. But I can't wait till the day when he's out of the way. And I don't know how the Lord might have spoke to your heart tonight, but if you need to come this holiday, why don't you come? Curse world, you're going to remove the curse. If you're going to bring us here, God, you ain't going to bring us back the way it is now. I thank you for that. Thank you for allowing us, giving us the promise, allowing us to see this earth the way you intended it. What a blessed time that'll be. And I do look forward to that. Thank you so much for loving me, being good to me, and taking care of me. Lord, blessing me beyond measure. Lord, for forgiving me of sin, having mercy on me. God, each and every time that I realize how little I deserve, I also realize how good you've been in spite of how ungrateful I've been so many times. And I thank you, Lord, for being good. Thank you, Lord, for being so much greater than anything I could expect or hope for. I pray, God, that you help us, Lord, all to just worship you, be true to you. Help me, God, Lord, in the days of my life, that I wouldn't be bitter towards you and the fact that you reign on high, but that I'd rejoice in it. God, that I'd be grateful for it. God, that I'd know that because there's a God in heaven, everything that's good and everything that's perfect comes down from you. Father, it's a gift, and I just give glory and thanks to you for it, for my wife, for my children, for my church, for all the great things you have done and are doing for me. Help me to be grateful and thankful and give praise to your name. Not wait, but to do it now. Lord, I pray that in the time I have on this earth, God, that not only would I praise you, but Lord, that I'd speak the truth, Lord, to deaf ears, no matter whether they hear or not, but I do it out of obedience. And what I pray, if it be your will, God, that you would add more blessing to that. And Lord, that wherever there's seed sown and there's water given, God, that you'd give an increase. I pray that you'd save lost souls. And I pray, God, that you'd help us in this church to be a light in the community and our families, around our loved ones, to be the salt that preserves your goodness and righteousness. Thank you, Lord, for loving us and being good to us. Help us, Lord, to see you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. gonna tell you one more story, then I'll go. I'll let you go. I said I didn't have liberty to tell you all the things that I whine and cry about, y'all doesn't have, but the greatest one is this church. And I started not to say this, I'm embarrassed to tell you this. I was embarrassed to tell you about me being a big baby. I hope you don't judge me. I hope you realize that what I'm saying is basically the same thing anybody else does in life whenever they've got ambition and they want to do something. But the way I see it is me being a big baby and not being good. But I left the church I was at, and I said, God, I will not pastor on the church unless it's a good church. And me sitting there shaking my fist at God, telling me what I'm going to do. Now, if I'd been God, and I'd been one of my friends, boy, I'd have given him a rough one. I said, son, I'm going to make you go where you've got to be good. Then you learn to do what I say. But God put me here. God put me here. You know something? End of this year, I've been here 4 years. I went in that old church, wasn't even there a full month. Crazy junk stalking. Never let up. I ain't had one problem. Almost 4 years. I tell other preachers that, and I swear they think I'm lying. I ain't. I appreciate y'all. I thank God for y'all. I get up one morning and I pray. I thank God for my wife. I thank God for my children. I thank God for my church.
Hey, amen.
And then I go on down the list. God has wants you to know how important you are to. Hey. More than my family, more than my friends. And I say, like I said, aside from my wife and kids, the rest of my family and my friends, I love my church. I do. I appreciate it. It's been a blessing to me. And you just don't realize how much you love and support and help. God's used that in my life to grow me, to show me things, and to reveal to me how ungrateful I've been. And, you know, telling him what I think I won't deserve and so on and so forth. God is good.
Amen.
And I realize, you know, if he'll give us the things that we pitch a fit over, how much more would he give it to a child that just asks humbly and gratefully?
Yeah.
If there's something you want, I think this, you know, God gives you everything you need, and if you think about it, he gives you most of what you want.
Yeah.
Say something you really want, ask God. Ask God. Believe and trust. It don't matter what it is. Ask God. He's already promised he's going to give us this whole world.
Yeah.
Share it with us. He owns it.
Hey.
There ain't nothing that he can't do for us. All right. Has anybody got anything you want to say before this meeting?
I'd like to say one reason I believe in my heart that you haven't had a problem calling the church, whether you.
I believe the reason they have problems more than that, brother, it's called the church loves God.
Amen.
Amen. If the people love God, they'll love their pastor.
Yeah.
Amen. They'll love the one God sends. It's a blessing.
Amen.
That is. Anybody else have anything to say? I would do a foundations question on that sometime. What do you think it's going to be like in the millennial reign? There's things that you can imagine. That'd be fun, wouldn't it? You know? I think about that a lot. I could go on for a long time. I was trying to have some self-control and not get carried away. Anybody got anything else? Sorry, you got something to say? Oh, you didn't give him a letter? Huh? Oh, he's getting stretched out? Okay. Preparing himself.